Today on Real Radio.
When you come to Jesus and when you know forgiveness, my friend, you might find out that you're surprised to find out who you really are. With joy, I might add. When you find yourself forgiven, you're free and you're released and excited.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament Gospel written by Luke. We're in chapter 7 and verses 36 through 50. This is the heart-touching account of the sinful woman who wept at the feet of Jesus while he was dining with one of the Pharisees. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called How Hungry Are You?
Simon is so blinded by his own sin that he cannot see that this woman is actually repenting at the feet of Jesus. He uses a word, touching, that is a word used for erotic activity between a male and a female. She was crying. She's wiping his feet with her hair. You got all that picture? You got that in your mind, everybody? But see, because of his predisposition of how he views this woman, because of her past, he judges her. You and I would do the same thing. Let's not throw Simon out with the trash just yet. Because of her past, we would probably look at her the same way. The people sitting around you. I'm making this part up right now, you guys. This next part, I'm making it up. But did you know the woman or the man sitting next to you could be or has been a prostitute or a murderer? How do you know? How do you know that the person sitting around you is not a thief or some sort of abusive person? You don't know, and you don't want to know. Because the moment you do know, now you're fighting with this thing that's in your head. Simon, by human nature, turns and has this disgusting interpretation of what's happening because he knows who the woman is. My question is, how did he know who she was? But we won't go there. He's disgusted. There is a strong judgmental tone to Simon's thoughts. He uses a very lewd word. She's touching him. If he was of God, he wouldn't let that happen. And he missed it completely. Simon's understanding of righteousness was to eject this woman from their presence, to protect themselves. Church, listen, this is a dangerous thing. God help this church the day that we become so respectable and so well-groomed that the outcast, wounded, the prostitutes, and the homeless don't want to come here. God help the heart that says, well, look at that church. It's a nice church. It's a beautiful place. Those are well-groomed people. They got nice cars. It's a big building. Oh, they wouldn't want me or they wouldn't want you. Don't be there. That's exactly the attitude of Simon the Pharisee. Jesus, in all of his splendor, in all of his love, in all of his tenderness, that was all available to Simon, wasn't it? And yet he refuses that, and she, of all people, comes, and there's an amazing moment set up before us. Simon's assessment is pretty accurate, except for one thing. She was a sinner. She was terrible, but the word if, there's just this problem. If he were a prophet, if he were of God. See, he failed to see Jesus and his greatness. Jesus is bigger, my friend, than all the events of our lives. Jesus is bigger than the next earthquake. He's bigger than the headline news tomorrow. God's bigger than what's going on in my life, in your life. He's bigger. I thank God. He's so big, and he's bigger than others that are around us. This woman is there alone. She's not only a female in a room of a bunch of males, but she's completely outclassed. She has no religion or theological background. She's nothing. The truth is, my friend, jot it down, verses 40 to 42, the truth is God is bigger than me. Oh, I'm so glad. No one appreciates that more than me. Then Jesus answered, verse 40, and said to him, Simon, listen to this. I have something to say to you. Do you guys get this? Simon's thinking everything in his head. He hasn't said a word yet. Jesus, being God in flesh, reads Simon's mind. I love it. This is an active deity. Simon, I've got something to say to you. And look what he says. Oh, say on, master. Speak, teacher. All right, here it comes. It's in verse 41. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. In other words, there's a bank, and two people had taken out loans. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, with where in which to pay or to repay, in other words, they're bankrupt, he freely forgave them both. Tell me then, therefore, which of them would love him or be most appreciative? It doesn't take an Einstein to figure this out. Are you with me, everybody? Let me ask you something. If you went over 65, what is the speed limit anyway? 65? Is it 55? I'm just checking to see if you knew. If you go 66 miles an hour, or if you had sex last night with somebody who's not your wife or your husband, wouldn't you and I grade that on a curve? Wow, come on. I mean, gee whiz, 66 miles an hour versus sex in the city with somebody who's not my spouse? I mean, one's huge and one, I mean, come on. You know God doesn't look at the difference? He's not a human. He doesn't grade on a curve. You might over here, I'm not pointing to you. I'm just picking out over here. I'm just saying. You might say, okay, I look at the Ten Commandments and I think I messed up like three of them. Somebody on this side of the sanctuary might say, if there was an 11th one, I broke that one too. Which one's the greater sinner? In the eyes of men, the one who broke the 11th commandment even, huh? Not so with God. Not on this side of the spiritual realm. God sees my filth just as bad as an L.A. street hooker. You say, Jack, that's very offensive. Oh, I'm just getting started. God loves that hooker as much as he loves me, as much as he loves Billy Graham, as much as he loves you name it. Don't make God a big human. He's not a big human. God is God, he's spirit, and he is truth. And his heart goes out to that L.A. street hooker. And his heart goes out to you and I this morning. What is the issue? It's not the magnitude of sin. Are you with me, everyone? It's not how big of a sinner you are. It's the awareness of your sin. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's trying to get this woman to see that she is about to be forgiven. He's trying to get this religious Pharisee to see he's far from the kingdom of God. It's the awareness of your sin that matters. Because when you're aware of it, you'll come to God and ask for cleansing. If you're not too keen at looking at your own life in the light of God's word, then you won't have much use for Jesus. But the truth is, God is bigger. He is bigger than me. And note this, he is bigger than you. And I'm glad about that. Hungry enough to know the truth, that the truth is, God is bigger than you. God is bigger than Jack. Simon answered and said, I suppose that the one who forgave him the more. And Jesus said, you've rightly judged. Good answer. Simon is introduced to the fact that he also is a sinner. Simon, you're also a sinner. In fact, looking at this, the parable is to, as I said, raise the awareness of sin. Simon understood it. He got it. So Jesus, in a sense, would be saying, Simon, you're in the 50 sinners club. She's in the 500 sinner club. I mean, if you have frequent flyer miles, Simon, you're just getting started. She's a platinum medallion member. The point is, Simon, and listen, Both were bankrupt in the parable. Both are bankrupt. You understand, church? Listen, if you owe the bank $1 or $100,000, if they foreclose on you, do you understand it doesn't matter? If you don't have the power to pay, you lose the house. You got it? Are you guys with? Are you awake? They're bankrupt. Christianity, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, teaches that man is spiritually bankrupt. We need our debt paid. We can't pay it. That's why there's this turmoil in the mind of, if I just do this, can will and how, can I be accepted to God, please, oh God? God says, no, it's the wrong, you can't, I don't accept that. It's not what I'm looking for. That's not how I work. It's the awareness of our need of him. You see, Jack, it almost makes it sound like you're saying that if you're a sinner, it's a good thing. Well, let me put it to you this way. Being aware of that we're sinners, it's a terrifying revelation that qualifies us for wonderful news. Okay? Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Luke 18, 10 says, two men went up to the temple to pray, Jesus said, and one was a Pharisee, and the other man was a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I find that funny, by the way. He prayed with and for himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And listen, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as even raise his eyes toward heaven, but began to beat upon his breast and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man who went down to his house justified rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Wow. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we say that we do not have sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all sin. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word is not in our hearts. So how much sin does it take for us to become a sinner? The answer is only one. Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet that very sin qualifies us to be forgiven if we'll just come to him, if we just respond to the invitation. It's no works of our own. It's no efforts of our own. That currency is not good in heaven. If Simon would have just opened his heart. Thirdly, we'll end with this final point. Verses 44 to 50. Are you hungry for the things of God? How hungry are you? Is it hungry enough to want to be forgiven? This to me is amazing. Listen. Are you hungry enough to want to be forgiven? A, you will say now in your mind, I don't need it. Then I'm calling you Simon this morning. You're respectable. You're honorable. My goodness, we should all tip our hat just to be in your presence. You're something. You're Simon. You may have all the religious trappings, but you are not desperate to be forgiven. It's a very threatening thing to consider. Then he turned, Jesus turned, verse 44, to the woman. Notice this. Jesus turns and faces the woman and says to Simon, stop right there. Anybody who's paying close attention, Jesus was there sitting down. She comes in and it says that she was standing where? Behind him. Simon would have been at the table. Jesus is at the table. She's behind Jesus. What does Jesus do? Jesus turns and faces the woman. But who's he speaking to? Simon. Jesus' back is turned towards Simon. Jesus is looking right at this lewd, promiscuous, loose girl. He looks right at her and watch what happens. Do you see this woman? There's a little bit of sarcasm in that. Simon, do you see this woman? Of course you see this woman. She's the issue. Listen to the indictment. I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. When Jesus and you and I come into this house, do we offer him this? Do we give him water, as it were, and tears? Do we wipe his feet? Verse 45, you, Simon, number two, gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. Number three, you, Simon, did not anoint my head with oil or with perfume, the oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for because she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven you. Can you imagine, church, will you just imagine for a moment what her face must have looked like in that moment? He is announcing to her, you're a virgin again. You're pure as the driven snow again. You're clean. Oh, listen, sweetie, don't worry about what people say. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God says now. And you're clean. You can be a virgin all over again with Jesus. Young man, have you lost your virginity? You can be a virgin all over again. Have you lost your home? Have you messed up your life? Has your family run out on you? You can start again. This was a notorious sinner, but she's finding forgiveness. Number one, because being forgiven sets you, the real you, free. You know why she didn't care about people? It was all about her and Jesus. Listen, I didn't have the time to share this, but I have to share this now. She let down her hair. A woman in that culture cannot let down her hair in public. To let down the hair was only to be done in the presence of her husband in that culture, in private only. She let down her hair to wipe his feet. You don't do this. She doesn't care. Because listen, she's expressing her love and her joy to her Lord Jesus. And her heart is pure as can be in intent, Jesus as pure as can be, period. And Simon's thoughts are corrupt. When you come to Jesus and when you know forgiveness, my friend, you might find out that you're surprised to find out who you really are. With joy, I might add. When you find yourself forgiven, you're free and you're released and excited. Secondly, verses 47 to 49, being forgiven enables you to love correctly or to love rightly. Verse 47 to 49 announces to us that she is forgiven of a great amount. She's very aware of it. And Jesus says, you're forgiven. See, but Jack, how theologically can she be forgiven when Jesus hadn't died yet on the cross? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. It's because Jesus is who he is, and he knew what he was going to do. Jesus assigned, listen, church, carefully, we're almost done. Jesus assigned her correct faith, her proper faith, which, where was it? What was her faith in? Him. Her faith was not in her tears. You don't get to heaven by crying. You don't get to heaven by washing feet. You don't get to heaven by pouring perfume out. Those are announcements of what's happened. You go to heaven by putting your faith in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Jesus Christ acknowledged her proper faith and announced to her, your sins are forgiven you. She saw him as the one that would forgive her of her sins. He's the one that can forgive you and I of our sins. In Ephesians 1:7, in Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. Thirdly, hungry enough to receive forgiveness because being forgiven rescues you forever. Look at verse 50. I love it. In this lofty chapter of verse 7, it is so great. Verse 50, he says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Watch this. Chapter 7, Jesus heals a sick centurion's servant. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus raises a dead son from the grave. Are not those great miracles? Right now, verse 50, will you circle it? You can write in your margins. This is the greatest miracle that God has and will ever perform. What's the greatest miracle? I'm going to tell you right now. It's verse 50. Honestly, let's be honest. Many of us suffer from physical ailments. I understand that. What would you choose? To be temporarily physically healed or to be forgiven of your sins so that you could live in heaven forever with God? I want to be forgiven. I don't care about my physical ailment when you put those two things side by side. Are you with me? The greatest miracle that God has ever done is to forgive a poor, wretched sinner like me. I am standing here an absolute example of the miraculous power of God. You say, Jack, where is it, man? Is it like do you have like extra long arms? No. Are you like tall? No. Is it this or that? No. I'm standing here forgiven of my sins. The greatest thing, Jesus did not go to the cross to heal people. Did he heal people? Yes. But did he go to the cross to heal people? No. Jesus went to the cross to forgive us of our sins, the greatest scourge of our soul that would keep us out of heaven forever. He took that away. He went to the cross and died in my place, paying that debt that I could never pay. If she was a 500 denarii sinner and Simon was a 50 denarii sinner, then I am a billion dollar denarii sinner. Paul the Apostle said of himself that he was the chief of all sinners. No. Paul, you're not right. You're wrong. Because when I get a closer look at Jesus, I am the chief. And because that's true, and also true is that he has forgiven me, then you know what? Stay out of my way between me and my God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called How Hungry Are You? It's taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 and verses 36 through 50. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just recently concluded a mini-series, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt?, which is still available on DVD for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. So whether you call, click, or write, just ask for it by title, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? In just a moment, we'll tell you the different ways you can get in touch with us, so have pen in hand or keyboard at fingertips to take down the information. But first, we want to remind you of a couple of outreaches here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The first, Journey with Jack Hibbs. You may have heard us talk about our television program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Well, it can be seen anytime by online means, including hischannel.com, hischannel.com, which also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And the current series Jack is delivering is called The Disciplines of Life, a very good and necessary series taken from Scripture. Remember that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be disciplined by him. And that's what this series is about. We do have a link to hischannel.com at our website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to send in that contribution to Real Radio and request the DVD series, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous donations of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.